Turn in your Bible to the book of Philemon. We've been looking at a couple of little one-chapter books, 2 John and Philemon. We'll look into Paul's letter to Philemon, one of the prison epistles. The Apostle Paul is a prisoner at Rome. And during that imprisonment, he carried on a great and powerful ministry. Was not a time of self-pity, not a time of depression and discouragement. It was a time when the word of God was going out, both verbally from Paul's lips and in written form from Paul's pen. And little did he know then that the ministry of those imprisonment years would be bearing fruit for thousands of years, about 2,000 years so far. These letters have impacted the Church of Jesus Christ in the plan of God. He gave an introduction, as is customary in New Testament letters, in the first three verses, and then he turns to express his thanks and gratitude to God for Philemon. He mentions his faith and love, and he assures him of the fact he is praying for him in his continued growth. We get insight in Paul's letters, both into those that he writes to and into the character of the man Paul himself. The letter to Philemon is perhaps the most personal letter that Paul wrote that we have preserved in our New Testament, where he bears his soul to Philemon and speaks very openly and intimately, and asking him for a personal favor. But as is customary in most of Paul's letters, he begins by expressing the great overwhelming gratitude he has to God for God's gracious work in the life of Philemon. You cannot help but be impressed that the Apostle Paul was a man who was a man filled with thanks. When he looked at what God had done, when he wrote to people, when he ministered to people, he was filled with thanks to God for the greatness of God's work. That's true even when there were problems that had to be dealt with. This is not a characteristic only of Paul. The Bible indicates this is to be a characteristic of God's people. There is nothing so strange or out of character as those who claim to be God's people, but they seem to live their life in the realm of discouragement. They have a hard time seeing, if you will, things to be thankful for in the lives of those that they minister with or in their own lives. I'll leave a marker in Philemon and come back to the Old Testament. I just picked out one psalm, Psalm 107. And keep in mind, the Apostle Paul is writing as he is a prisoner in Rome. An imprisonment that went on for about 5 years, as we saw when we studied the book of Acts. And yet as he writes, he cannot but think of all the great things that God has done in the life of Philemon, or in the lives of others that he writes letters to. And in the 107th Psalm, it's really a psalm exhorting and encouraging thanks to God for the greatness of his work. And it's a reminder that even in difficulties, even in hardships, even in times of trouble, God has been gracious and worked his power of deliverance. So the psalm begins, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary." Oh, he thinks about God's redemptive work and how he's delivered Israel. reminds them to be giving thanks to the Lord. He is a God characterized by unending loving kindness. Then as he talks about their condition as they wandered in the wilderness, and then God's intervention, he says in verse 8, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. And he talks about again those who dwelt in darkness, in the shadow of death, and so on. Their miserable condition, but he's the deliverer. So verse 15, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. He has shattered gates of bronze, cut bars of iron asunder. Then again, the reminders come to verse 21. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. Tell of his works with joyful singing. Down to verse 31. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him also in the congregation of the people. Praise him at the seat of the elders. And the psalm concludes in verse 43. Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindnesses of the Lord. You know, if we pause and think of how great the deliverance of God has been, how mighty his work has been in our lives personally and in the lives of others, can we but be filled with thanks and gratitude? How small we sometimes are. We get caught up on little things that grate upon us, that irritate us. We find flaws, failures, and we focus on them and magnify them and fail to appreciate the wonder of God's work in so many's lives. And we ought to be a people that are overflowing with thanksgiving. In verse 22, the psalmist had been written, let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 12, talks about the thank offerings, the thanksgiving offerings that were to be offered by Israel. In the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, we read, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. That is a continual, unending sacrifice that we offer to God. Lips that are continually thanking him for what he has done, praising him. You know, one of the blessings that ought to be ours as we're together with fellow believers is we ought to go away with hearts that are overflowing with thanks to God as we look around and say, you know, look at the work that God has done in this life and in this life. Look at the power of his grace that has so transformed them and they continue to grow in him. As you come back to the New Testament, come back to Philemon. And I would remind you in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, Paul says that the lack of thanks, the lack of thankfulness is a mark of the self-centered unbelievers in the last days. Listen to what he wrote. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Certain things we pick out and say, oh, yes, you know, this disobedient to parents, we need more emphasis on that. And then the next phrase is unthankful. So it ought to be characteristic that people who know us ought to say they are people that are just so thankful to God for all he has done and all he is doing. So it's not surprising that in Philemon, verse 4, Paul says, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. This is a consistent pattern of Paul through his letters. I just offer thanks to God. How does Romans begin? The same way. 1 Corinthians, Philemon, Colossians, Thessalonians. Paul just overflowing with thanksgiving no matter who he's writing to. Even in churches filled with division and strife and conflict, the Corinthian church, there could be a headache and a heartache to the Apostle Paul. He has to express his thanks to God. Because even with all the problems and all the difficulties, there had been a mighty work of grace done in the Corinthian church. These were people who demonstrated the ministry of the Spirit in their lives and manifested the presence of the Spirit through the gifts that had been bestowed upon them and so on. So we're going to be careful that problems and difficulties and difficult people don't cloud our spiritual vision and thus deprive us of the great opportunity of offering a sacrifice of praise to God for the greatness of his grace at work in lives. In verses 4 to 7, the Apostle Paul is going to follow his normal pattern of offering thanks to God, of assuring Philemon of his continued prayers, of commending him for his faith and love, which is a testimony of God's grace in his life. I thank my God always. He appreciates what God has done in Philemon's life. This is going to be an encouragement. It's the foundation. Remember what Paul is doing. He's writing to Philemon because Paul has come into contact with the slave of Philemon who had run away. And a slave who ran away could be subject to severe and harsh punishment. Paul is going to ask Philemon for a personal favor, because Paul has had the privilege of leading this runaway slave to salvation in Jesus Christ. Well, Paul is going to begin this portion of the letter by laying the foundation for such a request. He's going to remind Philemon of the greatness of God's work in his life. And he does this in this very beautiful way of expressing the thanks and gratitude he has to God for Philemon's life. What a privilege it is for Paul to pray regularly and always for Philemon, and to remind Philemon of the power of the testimony of a life that is characterized by faith and love. And then in that context, with that as a foundation, he asks this man to go a step further in manifesting godly graciousness and forgiveness in dealing with Onesimus, the runaway slave. So I thank my God always. Every time I pray, I'm making mention of you in my prayer. If we want to look at one of the outstanding characteristics of the Apostle Paul's life, it would have to be his prayers. You know, I sometimes think when I get to glory, I'll want to know, Lord, why was Paul such a mighty servant? Well, he's a man of prayer. He asked me for great things. He asked me always and consistently, and I simply bestowed upon him his request. I think, well, Lord, why didn't I get more? I gave you everything you asked for. You just didn't ask very often. I think of Jeremiah and the exhortation, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And we have to be impressed. I mean, what kind of scroll did Paul carry around with all these people that he says he's praying for all the time? You know, we find it hard to fit, prayer into our lives. And sometimes he thinks about all we can do is keep our families before the Lord. Here's the Paul everybody's writing to. Under the inspiration of the Spirit, he's telling them, I'm praying for you regularly. Philemon, you're on my regular prayer list. And it's a blessing for me to pray for you. Yeah, we're reminded, Paul was busy going about many things, but everything he's going about, he's in conversation with the Lord and holding people before the Lord. And so I am praying for you always, making mention of you before the Lord. And you know, there's a personal dimension to this. I thank my God. Paul had that close intimacy. And he could refer to our God. But there is an intimacy in this letter between Paul and Philemon, and there's an intimacy expressed here in this little way. I thank my God. Philemon, I want you to know, I go before my God on your behalf all the time. But how is Philemon going to tell Paul? He won't give him his request. I mean, I pray for you. I come before my God all the time on your behalf, Philemon. How much of the blessing that Philemon has enjoyed in his life are a result of the Apostle Paul's prayer? Is he going to tell Paul that he won't do what he asks him to do in a gracious favor in a little bit? You see the wisdom of Paul and the spiritual depth of Paul as he prepares Philemon for his request. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. I hear of your love and your faith. Perhaps from Epaphras. Epaphras, according to Colossians 1:7, had been instrumental in founding the church at Colossae. According to Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, Epaphras was from Colossae. And at the end of Philemon, down in verse 23, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. Philemon is part of the church at Colossae. We're not told how Paul heard, perhaps from Epaphras, perhaps from others. But Paul is saying, and what an encouragement to have the Apostle Paul write a personal letter and tell you, I pray for you regularly. I have heard of your testimony, both your love and your faith. I hear of your love toward all the saints and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus. Many of you read some commentaries, particularly those who may be based on the Greek text, they'll talk about a chiasmus, which is just referring to what we would have as our X. And it simply means that you have things arranged like the points on an X. And you would have here, I hear of your love, and love connects toward all the saints. So love and toward the saints, and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. The faith is not directed toward the saints, the faith is directed toward the Lord Jesus. And here in this context, the love is directed toward the saints, and that will come out later in the letter as well. Your faith toward the Lord Jesus. Let's pick that one up first. Philemon's testimony was sound and solid. You remember the Colossian church was a church that had been assaulted with false doctrine and false teaching. We won't go back, but in Colossians chapter 2, Paul has to deal with the false teachings that had infiltrated at the church at Colossae. Philemon was one whose faith in the Lord Jesus stood strong and firm. He had written to the church at Colossae and encouraged them. And in Colossians 2:5, Paul said he was rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Philemon was one of those Colossians who stood strong and firm even in the face of that seductive influence that was assaulting the church there. Your love toward all the saints. Philemon's faith was manifested, put into action by love. We've been talking about this in our study of 2 John. When you have a relationship with the truth, you walk in the truth, and the truth is in you, then the result is love produced. Genuine faith produces genuine love. The connections are inseparable. And so Philemon's faith was demonstrated in his love toward all the saints. Manifested godly love. Well, you see, what Paul is doing is bearing testimony to the godly character of Philemon. And it's all true. Paul is not putting things on here. And sometimes even godly people have to be reminded of their testimony. All of us have to, at times, be reminded that our testimony is at stake. Think of the testimony you have had before others. Think of the testimony you have had in your family. Think of your testimony regarding faith in Christ. Think of the testimony you have had in demonstrating godly love toward other believers. Therefore, be careful that now in what is before you, you don't stumble. That's what Paul is doing here. That here is another stretching opportunity to go beyond what would normally be expected. To give up your rights here, Philemon, is what he's going to be asked to do. This was his slave. He had legal rights. So Paul's preparing the way. Remember, you have a testimony as a man who demonstrates godly love. And that is a manifestation of the genuineness of your faith. Back up to the book of Ephesians. That's a few books in front of Philemon, half a dozen or so, I didn't count them. It's another of the prison epistles written while Paul was imprisoned in Rome. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 and verse 16. For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. You see, Paul's prayers, the context of the testimony of the faith and the love of the Ephesian believers. Turn over to the book of Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians are prison epistles along with Philemon. Colossians written to the church in the city where Philemon lives. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. In a church that has been established by the living God, a church that he has purchased with his own blood, as Acts chapter 20 says, would it not be characterized by their faith in Christ and their love for other believers? Come back to Philemon. What we have in what Paul is bearing testimony to here is the testimony of the character of a godly man. Your love for all the saints, toward all the saints. The word saints is a precious word. You're aware it comes the same basic Greek word, translated saints, translated holy, translated sanctify. Because those who are saints are those who are holy. Those who have been sanctified. The basic idea is to be set apart. To be set apart from sin for God. So we are God's holy ones. Those that he has set apart for himself. Those who have been sanctified, set apart from sin for God. Your love for the saints, for the holy ones, for those that God has set apart. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and in spite of all their problems, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Christ is our sanctification, as well as our righteousness and redemption. That's why we are holy ones. Christ is our sanctification and our righteousness and our redemption. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself in all your behavior, because it is written, You shall be holy, for I am holy. God is holy. Because he is completely and absolutely set apart from all sin and all defilement. And the people that he has redeemed for himself and sanctified for himself are too to be holy in all their behavior. And so Paul says, you have demonstrated love for the saints. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Philemon had demonstrated this character. What a testimony. A man of sound faith. A man of genuine love. Verse 6. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. Paul's prayer for Philemon not only contained thanks for the testimony that he has, but its intercession on behalf of Philemon. And you know what happens? When you're praying and thanking God for his work in someone's life, what naturally flows out of that? You want to ask God to continue that work, don't you? You pray for your children. And you thank God that he has worked so graciously in their lives. And what naturally flows out of that? You ask God to continue that work of grace, don't you? You ask him to work in even greater ways in their lives. So that's what Paul is doing here. And he says for Philemon, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. The fellowship of your faith. Talking about not only the fellowship in that faith he shares with other believers, but the active expression of that faith in its behavior. You know, Paul wrote to the Philippians and thanked God for their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, and spoke of their fellowship in the support of the faith, in support of the saints. Now here he's praying regarding the fellowship of Philemon's faith, and that it will continue to work. That word effective might become effective. It's a word that means energized. In fact, we get the word energy or energized from this. On air gaze. Energized. Powerful. Through the knowledge of every good thing. So your faith and its demonstration in your involvement with others may become even more effective, may work more through the knowledge that you have. This is the word knowledge that doesn't just include understanding, but includes experience. So sometimes it's called experiential knowledge. So the knowledge you have of the greatness of God's work, the greatness of His blessings in your life, I want it to work and accomplish even more. And you see, Paul is moving Philemon along. You get the idea, you have a godly person here in Philemon. But what Paul is going to ask Philemon to do is going to be stretching Philemon's faith. Perhaps he suffered great loss, we don't know. Perhaps Onesimus was guilty of stealing from him. Perhaps when Onesimus ran away, the absence of this key servant resulted in loss. We don't know. But you get the impression that Paul is burdened here, that even a godly man like Philemon is going to be stretched here. And this is going to be a stretching of Philemon's faith and an opportunity for the work of God to be even more powerful and more effective in Philemon's life. And so he reminds him of the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake, the overwhelming blessings. Remember, Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Now he reminds Philemon that you know, not just as facts, but you know in your own experience with the Lord something of the wonder of His blessings in your life. And now, there is an opportunity for your faith to be working in the fellowship, the koinonia. You see, when we talk about fellowship, there's all levels, and we have fellowship when we just sit and share in conversation. Sometimes we'll eat together or go to dinner together, and that's good fellowship. What Paul's talking about in fellowship here, we're talking about getting to the root of things. You're going to put yourself on the line, Philemon. Your faith is going to work in fellowship in a way that will stretch you in what you're going to be asked to do, a faith that is going to be working. Back up to Colossians chapter 1. Again, remind you, Philemon is part of the church at Colossae. So he not only gets this personal letter from Paul, but he'd sit there in the church with the congregation as they read the letter to the Colossians from Paul, the prisoner of the Lord. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfast, and so on. You see the context here. That you've grown, you have a great testimony. That's true of the church, it's true of Philemon. But Paul's prayer is that we go beyond. We keep moving on. Praise God for yesterday's blessings. Praise God for today's blessings. But I don't want to live in yesterday, and I don't want to remain in today. So that means I have to grow, be stretched in my faith. be challenged in my love, that I might be more the man of God tomorrow than I am today. Come back to Philemon, verse 7. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. This verse isn't part of Paul's prayer, but it's a transition. He prayed for Philemon, expressed what his prayer was. Now, verse 7, we have the transition that will carry him to the heart of his request in verse 8. It refers to Philemon's clear demonstration of love. There's been a strong emphasis on love, because what Paul has to ask of Philemon is a great act of love. To make a self-sacrificing action here in what you do. Give up your rights. Take the loss. And evidently there's a loss, because Paul's saying, I'm willing to make it good. Get to that toward the end of the letter. I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love. Paul has been blessed. I have come to have much joy. I want you to note here, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. According to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. That's what the Spirit produces in the life. I want you to note here that the Spirit of God, in this case, uses the faithfulness of a servant of God to produce his joy in the life of another servant of God. So important we see that it's not God's intention just to produce his character in the lives of his people in isolation. But here the Spirit of God has given Paul great joy, much joy, because of the testimony of the faithfulness of Philemon. Similar to what the Apostle John wrote in his third epistle, verse 4, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. So, you know, we see God's intention that we have a fellowship relationship with other saints. And perhaps the reason some saints don't have more joy is they need more fellowship with the saints. They need to look around and appreciate in greater ways the work that God is doing in the lives of his people. I have come to have much joy and comfort. We know of the Holy Spirit as the Paraclete. This is just a form of that word. And the Spirit of God is the one who comes alongside of to give aid and comfort and strength and all that is needed. But here Paul has experienced that work of the Spirit through the testimony of Philemon. I have come to have much comfort. Philemon's life was a blessing to Paul. I've come to have much joy and comfort in your love. Now, this is not primarily the love of Philemon directed toward Paul, although I'm sure that was a blessing. But in the context, it's the love that Philemon has manifested toward others. We saw that back in verse 5. I hear of your love toward all the saints. And then this is where he is going at the end of verse 7. Because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Paul has heard of Philemon's love. Philemon has been used of God to refresh the hearts of the saints. In their innermost being, they have been refreshed. Again, we see that we become instruments in the lives of others, and others become God's instrument in our lives for the work of God to be accomplished. This word, refreshed. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. That's the same word used by Christ in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Let me read it to you. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest. You will be refreshed in your souls. You'll find rest for your souls. Now here, Philemon has been an instrument of his Savior to bring rest, refreshment to the souls of God's people. Paul will pick up this idea down in verse 20 when he asks Philemon to refresh my heart in Christ. You know, God gives us abundant opportunities to be his instrument to accomplish his work in the lives of others. That ought to be the impact of our lives on others. You know, so-and-so is, you know, we'd say a breath of fresh air. You know, they're just a refreshment to my soul. You know, it's like when I've been with them, they've ministered to me in such a way, you know, they bring an inner rest to me. We sometimes get the idea, oh, I don't need them. The Lord just does it in my soul. And he does by his grace. But you know what happened when you believed in Jesus Christ? By his gracious work, you were placed into the body of Christ. And it's through the ministry of the body to one another that it builds itself up in love. And you know, the Apostle Paul found rest and refreshment in his soul as he observed the ministry, not just the ministry he was a direct recipient of, but he observed and heard of Philemon's ministry in refreshing the souls of other believers. And in turn, that was a blessing to the Apostle Paul. So we see how we can be used of the Lord and how Philemon was. He's a godly man. But he's a godly man about to be stretched to go beyond perhaps what he has done before in demonstrating love and godly character. Paul refers to him as a brother. We are of the same family. We belong to one another because we belong to the Lord. We find that warmth that Paul has for Philemon with that. He's ready to turn to his request. I have something to ask you, a personal favor. But he's prepared Philemon, not in a hypocritical way. He's not been, quote, setting him up. But he's been being used of the Spirit to remind Philemon of the greatness of God's work in his life, of the greatness of God's grace and how he has used and is using Philemon as a testimony for himself and an instrument to bring honor to his Savior. And I'm glad Paul just didn't abruptly jump into it, because sometimes we all need to be prepared to be stretched beyond ourselves. Philemon's life and testimony, you know what? They continue to bear fruit down to this very day. Because here we are reading the letter to Philemon. The impact of his life continues to bear fruit. We sometimes talk about the impact of lives. And sometimes that impact has taken place in ways that others wouldn't have known about. Sometimes it takes place in ways that the person whose life made the impact didn't know. You may have shared the gospel with someone who was saved by the grace of God, but they were saved after you had moved on to another place and you don't know the impact. Your demonstration of God's love, say, just part of the way I live that I would give myself. But you don't know the impact. And Philemon's life and testimony has continued to bear fruit. Because in God's plan, here we are 2,000 years later, what? Being refreshed and encouraged and blessed by the testimony of Philemon. These are the characteristics of our life. People think of us, that strong, stable faith in Jesus Christ. Not blown about, not shaken, disturbed, but the testimony of our faith in Jesus Christ is a blessing to others. When they might be unsettled, when they might be discouraged, our stability in Christ and faith in Him is a blessing to them. Our love toward the saints. When I don't feel like keeping on, when I don't feel like being stretched again, when I don't want to self-sacrifice another time, I am encouraged and challenged to do it by the testimony of those around me. How could I turn in to myself and self-centeredness when I am constantly reminded and refreshed by the testimony of those who so give of themselves? I'm sure Paul had his down times. I'm glad he didn't fill the New Testament with all the story of those down times. But he was a human being, like Elijah, a man of like passions. We all have those times. And it's good for us to be reminded of the faithfulness of others. If I come and say, you know, I just don't think I want to keep on preaching the word. I just don't want to keep on. And then I'm reminded, all these faithful people, what do? Tell them I quit? Can't do that. So what? We refresh one another. We bless one another. We challenge one another. And we want that to be the testimony of our church, don't we? To other churches, may go through difficulties and trials. We'll look at them and say, I want to be blessed. I'm encouraged to go on because they've had difficulty, they've had trial, but they have remained firm in their faith. They have difficulty, they have trial, but those people continue to love one another, serve one another, give of themselves sacrificially for one another. That will enable us to be a testimony, an encouragement, a blessing, a source of constant joy for others, that the Spirit would use us as a means of producing His joy in their lives, His encouragement in their lives, of bringing His rest and refreshment to their souls. What a privilege we have to belong to the living God. What a privilege we have to serve the living God and be blessings by God's grace in the lives of others. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your servant Paul, who in the midst of his imprisonment was not occupied with himself and his problems, his burdens, his difficulties, but he was concerned for Onesimus. He was concerned for Philemon. He was blessed with the testimony of the faithfulness of your servant Philemon. Thank you, Lord, for your servant Philemon, a godly man, whose testimony of a life of faith, a life of love, bore fruit as he walked this earth. Thank you, Lord, that the testimony of that life continues to bear fruit today. May we be encouraged. Lord, keep our focus proper. Give us an appreciation of your work of grace in the lives of others. May we not lose our sense of awe and amazement at the work you've done in so many lives, in the lives of our family, our friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. May we find that to be a cause of encouragement and blessing. May we not cease to offer you thanks for your work in the lives of others. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to be blessings. Thank you, Lord, that we belong to you, that each one of us have a relationship with you individually, and then we together as your church belong to you. May our testimony, personally and together as your people, be a source of joy and encouragement and refreshment to all who know us and to all who hear of us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.